So here we are, the opening Mishnah, Parakeis and Mevarchin. The Mishnah laid out a whole structure for thinking, a whole perspective on Birkas Hanenin, on Bracha Rishona in particular. Now, is there a chiv of Bracha Rishona, but Chazal Meshach in particular, Nuscha'os, something that we'll be returning to in various parts of the Masechta. Matbea Shetavu Chacham and Bebrachas. Chazal crafted particular language. Ezra Ubezdino, Nanshe Knes Agadola, crafted particular language for Tefillah, for Shmona Esrei. They also crafted an idea, concept of Birkas Hanenin, and specific brachas for specific situations. So number one, there's specific nuschos, and number two, there's pirut bebrachas. Based on a pasuk in Tehillim, we want to have, instead of just giving sort of generic, catch-all things for the food, we want to give more targeted, specific, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for tree fruits, and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things that grow from the ground, and so on and so forth. And we explored the extent to which those categories are, to which the language is Ke'en Daraisa, Kalish Nekra, and we began to scratch the surface of the extent to which the categories are Ke'en Daraisa. Then, we started to look at, with Ra yesterday, the one fascinating detail, moving Menachal Aprat, the big picture here, to zone in on one particular line in the Mishnah. We began to look at this Ritva yesterday, and we're going to continue to look at it right now. The Mishnah had said the first major category in the Mishnah is Peiros Ha'ilan, about which you say Bori Priha Eitz. And then we said, but there's a subcategory of Peiros Ha'ilan that don't get a Bori Priha Eitz, and that is
wine.
Wine gets a Bori Priha Gafa. Chutz min ha'yayin shal yayin hu omer Borei Peri Hagafen. So the Ritva had two things to say about that line. The first was an explanation, and the second was a what if. Yesterday we spent some time on the explanation. He's trying to understand this din, that you don't make a Borei Peri Eitz on wine, but rather Chazal designed a separate bracha just for wine. He had said, Perish Meshum De'ishir in the Ritva Chutz Min Hayayin. The parish, his first point was Mishum Deshtani Li'iluya V'Koveya Bracha Li'atma. It had an upgrade. It changed for the better. From grapes, it stepped up to wine. And therefore you have a different bracha. We pointed out, and thinking about this yesterday, the first half of the Ritva, that later in the Masechta, later in the parak, we're going to learn about situations where if it's a shtayin legreisa, if it had a downgrade, then it might drop the bracha. Here on Lamed Ches Lamed Beis, you have beautiful vegetables and you ruin them by cooking, so maybe you're going to downgrade them. The Gemara discusses from Ha'adama to Shahakal. Shtayin legreisa. Usually shtayin leiluya. If you did a good job with the potatoes, you did a good job with the apple, whatever it is. So it maintains its ha'eitz. It maintains its ha'adamah. So this is interesting. They're actually not just maintaining as opposed to dropping, but we're actually upgrading to a new, higher bracha. So why is that? So he suggested yesterday that the Ritva's next phrase, v'koveya bracha li'atmo, might not just mean, and therefore it has its own bracha. It might be an echo of the Gemara Membeis, goring bracha li'atmo. Yayin, and we began to explore this a little bit, maybe we'll come back to this more later in the year, that the Bar Priya Gefen is different than the other Birkas Hanen and the other Brachas Rishonos, and that it sort of plays two different roles. It's a bracha that you make in advance of eating food, like Shahako, like Bar Priya Adama, like Bar Priya Eitz. It's also a part of the Nusach of a Kosha Bracha. That's what we began to explore yesterday. Rashi is very suggestive of Membeis and Aleph. The other Rishon to talk about is also, we left off yesterday noticing that there's a big machlokas on Rishonim. If you already made a Bar Priya Gefen on other wine, but now you're going to have a kosher bracha, do you have to say another Bar Priya Gefen? And that we discovered yesterday is a practically speaking, a split between Ashkenazim and Sephardim over how many times you say Bar Priya Gefen at your Seder. And when once we start to think about it, the Ashkenazi approach, if you're Ashkenazi, you grew up this way, so you sort of take it for granted. The truth is, it's a little surprising, because you made a Bar Priya Gefen, you had not yet, you had in mind you could drink another cup of wine. and you haven't made a bracha acharona between the first and second kosos. You haven't made a bracha acharona between the third and fourth kosos. So the Sephardi approach is actually very easy to understand. It's consistent with halachas of Birkas Hananin. Ashkenazi approach is not consistent l'chora with halachas of Birkas Hananin, probably because Ashkenazi approach assumes that there's another din. It's Tzvei Dinim in Bar Priya Geffen. Bar Priya Geffen could serve as the Birkas Hananin, but it also serves as a chelek of the procedure of bracha ala kos. If I'm going to say kiddush ala kos, I need to say bar priya geffen. Not just because how do I drink the wine afterwards if I haven't made bar priya geffen. That's part of saying kiddush ala kos is also saying bar priya geffen. Part of saying asher ga'alanu al hakos. Part of saying nishmas al hakos. The second and fourth brachos that are said ala kos is you also have to say bar priya geffen. That seems to be the Ashkenazi approach. Birkas Hananin is not machayev you to say the second bar priya geffen, the fourth bar priya geffen seder, but koshal bracha is. So that's how Rashi membeis, this is where we left off yesterday, Rashi membeis seems to understand that that's what the Gemara is saying, that because it's goring bracha liatzmo, so because so many times you're, that maybe, my father-in-law develops in Simon Vav, I believe, of Eretz Hatzvi, that that where Rashi's driving at is this Ashkenazi approach. Rashi was Ashkenazi as well. And that's how he's understanding. That's what the Gemara meant over there in Membeis. The reason why Bar Priya Geffen is more sturdy than other brachos, more sturdy in the sense that if you start your meal with bread, so then you're not going to have to make a separate shahakol on the steak or a separate Bar Priya Adama on the potatoes, but you will have to make a separate Bar Priya Geffen on the Cabernet. And the question is, but why? And that's exactly what they asked Ben Zoma. Or what the Amarah maybe were commenting on about Ben Zoma. Yainami Niftre Pas. If the Hamotzi covers all the other foods that are legitimately part of the Suda, the main dish and the side dish and so forth, so the wine that you have with your main course should also be covered. The answer was, Gorin Barach Liatz, which Rashi understands means, well, Bar Priya Geffen is different. Has the answer answered the question? Bar Priya Geffen is different because it's not just a Birkas Hananin. Because it has this other life to it, it therefore, Rashi is saying, has a stronger power as a Birkas Hananin. You're not making a bracha al hakos in the middle of your supper, but if you're going to have wine, the need to make a Birkas Hananin on wine is stronger than the need to make a Birkas Hananin steak and potatoes. Either you made the Hamotzi doesn't pater you to the Bar Priya Geffen of wine. So that sounds like what the Ritva is driving at here also. That's why Chazal or Masakin, a separate bracha, Birkas Hananin on wine. You might be saying, they were going to go ahead and be Masakin, a separate bracha of wine for the Kosha bracha, for the Yayin of Kiddush and the Yayin of Havdalah and the Yayin of Shavu brachas. And the Yain of Asher Galanu, so that becomes also the separate Birkas Hananin, even when you start having a glass of wine outside, in a secular, in a mundane context, outside of Kosher Bar Stam. You're having a half a glass of wine with supper because some cardiologists think that's a good idea. Again, that's not a spot for medical advice, and one can debate whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. But whatever it is, the guy's having a glass of wine, nothing to do with kosher bracha, but still the Mishnah says, stam on, you have to make a bar priya geffen, not bar priya eitz. Ritva seems to be saying, because bar priya geffen has this other life to it, so it's more so wine always gets a bar priya geffen. Which then brings us to the second point in the Ritva, which we had left off with, we want to explore right now. With the Gemara Muchach, in Birich al Hayayin Bar Priya Eitz Yatsa. Chazal were masakein a separate bracha of Bar Priya Geffen, not just for kosher bracha, but any time you drink wine. But if you made a mistake, on purpose, by accident, whatever it is, but b'di'avad, you already made a Bar Priya Eitz on your, picked up a glass of wine instead of Bar Priya Eitz, and then recognized that that's not what I'm supposed to say in a glass of wine, I'm supposed to say Bar Priya Geffen. So what do you do now? Do you have to make a new Bar Priya Geffen? Or you say, I was Yotze B'dieved with the Bar Priya Eitz. So the Ritva says two things about that. What two things do you say about that? In one sentence. He made a statement, he made a halachic statement, gave a psak, and he gave an appeal to authority. What two statements did he say? That the din is, in such a case, what's the din? That you're yotze begevet. And the other point he made is appeal to authority. Not only that's the din, but that the Gemara said, this is a Gemara that says so. Now, if a Gemara muchach, he could have just said, v'nir ali. He could have just said, no explanation. He could have just said, v'imbirich ha-hayayim bar p'reitz yotzev. And he said, v'gemara muchach. It's clear in the Gemara. So that right away gets you wondering, well, where is it? Where is it clear in the Gemara? So if you're Zochet, have a Ritva with footnotes, so they handily send you later. The Ritva makes the same point at greater length on Daf Mem on the base, which is becoming Baruch Hashem. Mem on the base is starting to become familiar territory. Over time, Baruch Hashem, all of Ketzim Baruch Hashem become familiar territory, all of Mesachas Brachas, all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah over the course of a lifetime. To become increasingly familiar territory. But for now, even while we're on Lamed Hey, we're already getting comfortable, particularly, we've been seeing a lot of Daf Mem. So once again, the mission of the Bam Daf Mem Amud Aleph is the one that speaks about this concept in general, that one bracha could sometimes cover B'dieved. Sometimes the wrong bracha still works B'dieved, sometimes not. Remember, that was the Mishnah on the Bam Mem Amud Aleph, that if you'd say a Bar Pi Adama on a tree fruit, you yotze B'dieved. If you say a Bar Pi Eitz, on a vegetable, you're not yotze b'dyeved. Ha'etz on lettuce is not going to help you. Ha'etz on a potato, it's not pre-ha'etz. It does not grow on a tree. But it is true that the apple grows from the tree. It is pre-ha'etz. It is also true that it grows from the ground because the tree is rooted in the ground. So it's not ideal, but all pre-ha'etz are a subset of pre-ha'adama. It says you should not, l'chatchila, you're not allowed to say bar pi'adama, because you're a violation of the necessary piyut b'brachas, you're not being specific enough, but if you said the bracha, you did cover your bases. And then finally, Mishnah said, akula v'mama shakal niya b'dvar yotze. Shahakal is the catch-all. Like in blood donation, the universal donors, the universal recipients. So shahakal is universal bracha. Everything, b'dieved, you're not allowed to choose to say a shahakal on an apple, or a peach, or a potato. But if you did, you can continue to eat without making another bracha. The Gemara wonders, is it really universal? How universal is universal? The top of Mem Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, well, Al-Kulim Amar Shahakol, Itzmar. Rav Huna Amar Chutz Min HaPas Min HaYayin. Rav Yochanan Amar Filu Pas V'Yayin. Rav Huna said, it's almost universal Shahakol. Everything except for bread and wine. Bread and wine, those are exceptionally chashiv. That is Rav Huna, as you see on the top of Mem Amud Beis. The Amora Rav Huna is the very beginning of the period of the Amoraim. Rav Huna was a student of Rav. Okay. Rav and Rav Yochanan were both Talmidim of Yehuda Hanasi. A fascinating Gemara. Rav Yochanan recounts that he remembers he was a young Talmud sitting 17 rows back in Rav Yehuda Hanasi Shir. And Rav was at the time like the senior Talmud, the top fellow in the Shir. And Rabbi Yochanan describes, I remember the sparks were flying from Rabbi Yonasi's mouth to Rav's mouth, from Rav's mouth to Yonasi's mouth. Rashi makes a comment that Gemara, that doesn't mean literally there were sparks flying, it's an expression. I mean, the level of learning was unbelievable conversational learning going on between Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Rav. So Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan were all Talmidim of Yehuda Hanasi. Yehuda Hanasi is the end of the Tanaim. Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan are all first generation Amoraim. Rav and Shmuel head off to Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan stays in Eretz Yisrael. See, here Rabbi Yochanan is in a debate with a Talmud of Rav, with Rav Huna. Question is, when the Mishnah said Shahakal universal, is that 100% true or not? Rav Huna says, not bread, not wine. Bread and wine, that's already even more significant. That's not covered by Shahakal Yibitva. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Feel possibly, bread and wine are the ones that got their own separate bracha in our Mishnah. Okay, so Rav Huna says, and that's ma'akiv b'dieved. Rav Yochanan says, no, bread and wine do get singled out in our Mishnah to have their own unique item-specific bracha. Bar Pri'etz is for a whole category. Thousands. I don't know, tens of thousands. Who knows how many species that are bar Pri'etz. Countless species that cover bar Pri'etz. But Hamotzi and bar Pri'etz Geffen are very, very specific. Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, lechatchila they're very specific. Very specific. But b'diavad, if you say a shahakal, even a shesh shahakal on bread, you say a shahakal on wine, you are yotzei b'diavad. The Gemara goes on to discuss it further. Are there tanaim? Is this rei machlokas tanaim or not? It remains a machlokas amoraim. Again, whether shahakal on bread and wine works b'diavad or not. How do we paskin? Taptosis tells us, v'chein halacha, you paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. You paskin like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav. You certainly paskin like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav's Talmud. So halacha l'maisa, you make a shahakal, you're not allowed. It's a violation of the din to make a shahak, to choose to make a shahakal on bread or wine, or for that matter on an apple or a potato. But if you did make a shahakal on an apple or a potato, you're yotzei, that's the Mishnah. If you made a shahakal on bread or wine, you're also yotzei, that's the machlokas amaron, and the Tosa says, we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan. You are yotzei b'dievet. You are yotzei b'dievet. So the Ritva there says, as he does here, so if you said shahakal on wine, it was wrong to do, a violation of period per brachas, but yotze b'dyavid, and if you made a bar period eight on wine, also, again, same, it's the same phenomenon. You're using, wine is a period eight, it's part of everything, it's part of period eight. It's wrong to use an incorrectly broad bracha. But you're yotze b'dyavad. If you're yotze the shahakal, yotze the ha'etz. As a matter of fact, the ra'ah, the Ritzvah's Rebbe, even says if you made a ha'adama, it just sounds funny. They all sound funny. You made a ha'adama on wine, also. So if you made a ha'adama on grapes, yotze b'dyavad. You make a ha'adama on wine, you make ha'etz on wine, you make shahakal on wine. Now, shine, it's wrong with chachila, it's good b'dyavad. Now, you might be wondering, why am I like, seems like Cohen is beating a dead horse here. Like, yeah, I got the point. I know this is a Mishnah. We learned the Mishnah in Daf Mem already. I know that if you make a broad bracha, yotzei b'dyavad. Okay, shkaya. Okay. Machlokas amaron, but the bread and wine. No surprises here. Here's what's surprising. Take a look at the Taisa. Closest to the Gemara there to talk about an interesting case where you weren't sure what you were drinking. Sounds like the beginning of a bad joke. If someone is not sure what he's drinking, that sometimes is an indication that he shouldn't be drinking at all. So the Gemara talks about a case where a guy is holding a glass of wine and thinks it's beer and starts to make a bracha, or a guy is holding a glass of beer and thinks it's wine. Does it now? I'm sorry to hear. Wow, okay, well, we can continue that conversation offline. I know you're joking. But this Gemara is actually serious. And if when such a situation happens, if one is not aware of what one is drinking, that's potentially an unfortunate situation. Of course, it doesn't have to be drinking. It could also be it could be food, and you thought that this was mashed potatoes. It turns out that it's not, or whatever it is. But the Gemara's example of a mistaken identity in the context of Birkas Hanan, and the Gemara's example, and this is about to become very significant, is a wine beer mix up. Let's take a look. It's a rich Gemara. Those who learn the first parak, everyone should at some point learn the first parak. You'll learn the first parak in the afternoon chabur. No doubt you're going to get to this Gemara if you haven't already. But let's just see the first couple lines of Gemara. We'll jump into a little piece of the Tosis. Malkim sha'amru laharich. The Gemara says this as follows. Right at the two dots. Pshita hecha denokat kasa dechamra. It's obvious that if a guy is holding a cup of wine, chamra, the yadei in his hand, the kasava de shekruhu, he thought that's beer. Upasach umavarach adaita de shekruhu. So thinking that it was beer, what bracha do you make on beer? Shahakal. So he has a glass, I mean, probably not a glass, it would be obvious. He has a metal cup or a mug or whatever it is, and thinking that's a beer, he begins to make shahakal. And he starts saying Baruch Atah Hashem, thinking that it's beer. And then he realizes at one point he peeks in the cup. He says, "Oh, it's wine." So he ends off instead of saying Shakal Nevesvar, he ends off saying Bar Pri Agafen. So the Gemara says, "Well, you're Yotze, even though at the beginning, we said at the beginning of the bracha, you intended to say shakal, because after all, the Gemara says, the inami amar shakal niyibidvar yatsa. After all, if you actually said a shahakal on wine, he didn't realize his mistake until he sipped it, you made a full shahakal from beginning to end. Not just you had that in mind, you said Baruch Atah Hashem. You said the word shakal niyibidvar. And then he puts the glass to his lips and tastes the unexpected taste of wine, you're yotze. Right? That is consistent with the position of which I'm over. Right? Okay. So Tosis makes the following comments. In the middle of a larger conversation, we're just going to zero in on one line. Mew, Tosis lo. Do you want the lo? Couple of lines in. Mew haya omer rach, or it may be could be supposed to say ben tam. Im haya yodeya bebiru shetar bidiburo. Sha'omar boy prates. Tachas priagofen. If you know that you made the wrong bracha, the example that he gives is you made a bar for eight when you should say bar for gafen. If you catch yourself, tochedei dibur yachal lachazor bo. And that's why. Otherwise, you're not yotze. Wow. So, if you see that little bullet on the word priates, that is in the Vilna printing house, that little bullet, that little circle, maybe some of the new Gemaras don't have it, but that little bullet mark over here, the word Priya Eitz, in the Vilna Svarim, the Vilna printing house, that was the standard. Rabbi Akiva Eger got his own symbol, his own icon. That icon means Rabbi Akiva Eger. Lahavdal Alfei Havdalos. It's not an emoji. Bahavda Alfi Avdalos, that's a symbol that stands for Rabbi Akiva Eger. And all the Svarim printed by the Vilna Printing House. When they published Shas, when they published Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya, when they published Yachan Boaz Mishnayos, that mark always tells you, in Yachan Boaz Mishnayos, that sends you to toast Rabbi Akiva Eger on the side. In the Yerodeya, Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya, it sends you to Chidush Rabbi Akiva Eger on the bottom of the page. And in the Shas, it sends you to the Gilin HaShas, which we began to discuss yesterday. Gilin HaShas was not a sefer that Rabbi Akiva Eger formally wrote. We have other svarim that he formally wrote. We have svarim that he wrote on Masechtos, like Jewish Chiddush. We have Shuvas that he wrote, and so on and so forth. Gilin HaShas was the Gilion of his Shas. They got their hands, the printers at some point had gotten their hands on Rabbi Akiva Eger's own Gemara, and they copied down all the notes that he made in the margins. Chashav. One of the greatest of the Achronim had very, very intriguing notes in the margins that are worth all of us spending some time looking at. See here, now usually Gilin HaShas is pretty brief. Usually just tell you, send you to Gemara, send you to Chesus, sometimes he'll add of a Tzarechian. Here he has what to see actually talks. The bottom, see the Gilin HaShas in the bottom. Deiz Alav Dal, Deemsa Dibur, in the middle of the Tosus. Sha'amar Bar Priyates, Tachas Bar Priyagefen. That's the line from Tosus. You said Bar Priyates, place the bar prayer again. And mashma mizeh, Kriyaker says, in bir chalayayin bar prayer, it's a lo yatsa. It sounds like if you caught yourself and you're chose, you fix it, tochidei dibur, in the first few seconds, you'll be yotze because you fixed it to a bar prayer again. But if you never fixed it, you said a bar prayer, and then you drink wine, lo yatsa. It sounds like you're not yotze. And he says, it's not only tosos. It's not only tosos in the 1200s or the 1100s. As he says, from Ben Tam in the 1100s, Chinkas of Magen Avraham, 500 years later, in the 1600s, the Magen Avraham on the side of Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, he also says the same thing. He quotes another Rishon, a less well-known, the Tshuva's Rihalevi. The Rihalevi, I think, is somewhat famous for what he says about Bar Mitzvahs and Hashanah Mubaras, but that wasn't his only topic. So Akiva Eger says, look, you read the Tosis thinks, you're not Yotze, if you make a bari priha eitz and wine. And he says, the toaster said it. The Magen Avraham said it. Vitamu ali. Does Akiva Eger like it? Absolutely not. He thinks it's shocking. He's scandalized. How can you say such a thing? The hayayin shame priya love. It is priha eitz. Don't tell me wine is not a fruit. And he says, how do I know that wine is a fruit? I could call it pri ha'etz, because after all, what bracha do you say? Borei pri ha'gafen. So don't tell me, oh, you can't use borei pri ha'etz even b'dieved because it's no longer fruit, it's wine. What do you mean? You say borei pri ha'gafen. Yayin shein pri olof da mevarchin borei pri ha'gafen. Im kein shapa mevarch, borei pri ha'etz. So if borei pri ha'gafen is what you're supposed to say, then obviously borei pri ha'etz should be an acceptable alternative b'dieved. It is appropriate to say Barayitz. El Dahayel Levarayos Shua Meit Megafen. I should have been more specific, not just Barayitz, but specifically which eats the Gafen, not just a tree, but the grapevine. Same came Lo Garmi Birch Shahakol the Kaimel on the Yotze. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. They say Shahakol Yotze. If you held like Rav Huna, the wine needs its Barayitz Gafen in Vidyaved. The bread needs its Hamos in Vidyaved. Okay, but we don't. We hold that Shahakal is good, and the Gemara here says that Shahakal is good with Yevet. So Shahakal is good and Baruch Pregefen is not good? It's upside down, inside out. Baruch Pregefen is closer. Yes, you're supposed to say Baruch Pregefen. But how could it be that the Gemara says that if you make a Shahakal on one Yotze B'Yevet, make Baruch Pregefen on one Yotze B'Yevet? He says, this is a strange Tosis. Tosis says it, the Rabbi Avraham says it. Kivaker says, but I don't understand why. And now we have, I don't think Rabbi Kivaker had neither a Ra'ah nor a Ritva in Brachas. I do not think he had access to either. But now we do, and we see that in fact, Rabbi Kivaker was aligning himself with the position of the Ritva and the Ra'ah. Yeah. Bar Pre'etz, Yotze B'Dievet. Again, Ritva starts this conversation on the Mishnah. Because it speaks to the way the Mishnah is organizing that Yayin is a subset of Peiros HaIlan. And Bar Pri HaGefen is a exceptional subset of Bar Pri HaEtz. Now, then Rukinei goes on to say he did find, he was very bothered, Tamuli. Tamuli is pretty strong. But he's like shocked. What was Tosa saying? And they say it so nonchalantly. They didn't make a point of it, like, oh, I have a chiddush to tell you. It's just sort of like mentioned in passing, they really talk about something else. This Torah took it for granted. What's with the, it's almost like cavalier. Like, really? Like, this they were backhandedly mentioned this astounding chiddush that Rabbi Kivaker came here and said, why, forget, Tosfos didn't think it's pasha, Rabbi Kivaker doesn't even, forget about not pasha, he doesn't think it's true. And then, and he's even more shocked by, and the Magen Avraham says it, Magen Avraham quoted a different Rishon. And no one ain't potzepeh mitzavtiv. No, no one's getting upset. So then he said, "Well, achar ze matzasi beis Hashem yisbarach, tshuvas ginas vradim, the hellel leikur diyatsa." I found another tshuva sefer. The ginas vradim, I believe, is a very early achron, also from the 1600s, I believe. If I remember correctly, he was an Egyptian talmud chacham, but I could be wrong. So I was excited to find that the ginas vradim disagrees with Tosfos also. He thinks B'Yavid Yotze. Sounds like there may be Machloz Ashkenaz Mitzvardim going on here. And the Tosfos is the Magen Avraham versus the Ginas Radim was already rooted in the, already aligned with the Ra'ah and the Ritva. So how would you make sense? Rabbi Kivaker points out correctly. This is really, really pretty shocking. Really pretty shocking. So before we even go on, just stop for a moment if you miss Bonin about what just happened. We looked at a Ritva. On our Mishnah, we learned the Mishnah. What have we done so far? We learned the Mishnah. What are you doing in Yeshiva the last few days? I learned the Mishnah. Really? Spent a few days learning the Mishnah? Yeah, well, we're beginning to see the way the Gemara unpacks the Mishnah a lot of different ways. And learned this Mishnah, we saw a Ritva, who made a very innocent comment that didn't really strike us as particularly fascinating, sort of not surprising. Yeah, he said, okay. But like, he was supposed to say Bar Pri HaGefen, but yeah, but he said Bar Pri, so also you would say Muchach B'Gemara. Where was the Muchach? But by the way, where was the Muchach B'Gemara? Probably, which Gemara do you have in mind? Mamam Beis, right, B'Yochanan. Right? We saw Yud Beis also, which seems to reference Rabbi Yochanan as the stomach of the Gemara. Yeah, that's what I said. B'Yavid, Yotze V'Shahakol. I mean, the Mishnah already says that Hadamah works for Eitz, and the Gemara says that Shahakol works for passing Yain. It's a shine. Seems pretty straightforward, which is exactly what Kivaker said. This seems really straightforward. I shocked what Kivaker said that anyone could disagree. But Tosfos does disagree. Yeah, what would you say? Any thoughts?
Mishnah Mishnah. It's no longer what it was. Shehakol works on everything. But it left the grape for me.
Oh. So Avichai makes an interesting argument. That you never leave Shehakol. Because literally the words mean Shehakol, everything exists by the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you can never become a non-Shehakol. We will see there are things you don't make brachas on, but that's probably because it's not a Hana at all. Well, we'll see later in the parashah. Like if you eat something that's dangerous, so maybe it doesn't call for a bracha. But anything that calls for a bracha, so Avichai is saying, if it calls for everything is, you never stop being something. You're always part of Shehakol. You're always part of Hakol. But it could be interesting. It could be here, there's actually this radical move upgrade, so maybe you stop being a Bar Parade. That's interesting. Okay. That's a good suggestion. That is a very good suggestion. Any other ideas? Yeah.
It's similar to what Avi Chai said, but it's just that Shehakol is special in that it's been given the ability to light everything. Whereas Hagafen, for wine, you have to say Hagafen. Hay doesn't cut it. It's special in that way, but you have to say Hagafen. So, saying, you just or Shehakol, which works for everything. If you want to go back to the blood example, where it's like, you can apply, that's a universal giver. It can always work in everything. Whereas we need
the
bracha for yayin to say on yayin,
haetz
doesn't work.
Even though haetz works for haetz, but you're saying neither hadama nor haetz work for yayin because yayin, the shift away from haetz was as ironic as Ritva said, a very very strong shift.
Right.
Okay. I hear that. Yeah. What do you say, Ellie?
Maybe when they're both talking about two different cases. One is talking about when you're making a bracha on wine as brachas nanin, one is talking about on it would be fine, whatever.
Shakul,
whatever you
want to
say.
Ooh. So Dykman's thinking like a London. Dykman's saying, Ashka. Wow. It's a never ending flow of bracha. Shefa bracha. And driver's market. The sheet of Tosfos that you make a bar parades on yayin lo yatsa b'diaved. So one suggestion was, oh wow, an array of colors, beautiful. So one suggestion was that maybe it's because the Ishtani Liluya. That Shehakol is unique. There's a difference between Shehakol, but there's Bar Pre'etz and Bar Pre'adam. That was the essence. That chiluk was the essence of the first approach that Avichai and Yaakov suggested. Shehakol operates differently. Bar Pi'etz is more inclusive than Bar Pi'agefen. Bar Pi'adam is more inclusive than Bar Pi'etz. Shehakol is like universal. That's going to be a very important idea we're going to hold on to. As time goes on, we're going to see that more and more. It's going to come a lot of context. Very good. Now, Ellie would make another suggestion, which is maybe I should distinguish between Bar Pi'agefen as a Birkas Hananin versus Bar Pi'agefen as a bracha al kos. Going back to our talk before. Now that is a very significant distinction. That would be intriguing. As if you were to say, maybe even the Ritva might say, if I made a Bar Pi'agefen on wine, I'm allowed to continue to drink the wine. But one could argue, but if I made Kiddush, and I said Bari Priya Eitz, and then I said the Bracha of Kiddush, maybe I'm not Yotze. That would be an interesting argument to make, maybe. Or maybe even a Shehakol. Now, but to say it, so I think there's a lot of substance to the chiluk that you're making. I'm not sure that's relevant here, because you're going to be hard. It's an Okimta and Tosis. You say that when Tosis made this comment, they really made it only in the context of Kosher Bracha. So you would have to explore the sugi more and see, are there Rishonim who say that this Gemara is talking specifically about kosher bracha? There are certain brachas al kosher you can make in Chamar Medina. Gemara says elsewhere. Some brachas al kosher, if you don't have wine, you can make on beer. You can make Abdallah on beer. So is that why the guy, that's the context specifically, that he picked up the kosher not just to drink, but for Abdallah? Maybe. He would want to find some smach for that. Whether or not that chiluk is relevant here, it is definitely important chiluk to keep in mind. Yeah.
An issue with making that chiluk here is, if so, why would shahakal be different?
No, Ali is saying that it's not different between shahakal and bar priyat. It's that normally the more expansive bracha does work. Ali is saying, Tosu really agrees to the Ritva. The same way Pasuk Rabbi Yochanan Shahaka works b'diav on one, Bar Parades, Bar Pitema also work on one. Narvas, I hear Tosu said it doesn't. No, Tosu just meant that in the context of Bracha Al-Kos it doesn't work.
Yeah, but what were we talking about? What Gemara with that Tosu?
Good, that's what I'm saying. The Gemara in Yubei doesn't seem to be limited to Kosher Bracha. So that's why I'm saying, I agree with you. It's a difficult akim to hear, but it is an interesting thing to think about, and it ties back the previous discussion to this one. Let me give you one more suggestion. And as we're seeing, digging into the details of the opening mission and the parak is already equipping us with a lot of ideas and a lot of yesodos and a lot of chilukim that we're going to appreciate more and more and that we're going to use in Mirtz Hashem again and again as we progress through the sugyas of the parak. In a certain sense, the working on the initial Mishnah, a lot of the avoda right now is noticing yesodos and beginning to become attuned to ideas that we're not yet equipped to fully appreciate, but we're going to see more and more of as time goes on. And this one more is the following. We've spent time, obviously, on Lamed Hay, our parak. We've spent time on Mem, Mem Aleph and Beis. Let's take a peek at a new blot for a moment. That new blot is Lamed Ches Lamed Aleph. This is in the thick of the Gemara talking about specific foods. What bracha do you make? We're getting this soon in Mitzvah Shem. Well, this type of food, is it Mizonos or is it a Hadama? This type of food is a Hadama or is it a Shahako? So the Gemara talks about Duvsha de Tamre. Some type of... Yeah, date honey, date nectar. Good stuff. I think Silan is what it's sometimes in the Syrian version of this is called Silan. Like Ramesh, like, it's like maple syrup. For American taste, like maple syrup, but like 100 times more, 100 times better. It's Shivas Haminim. It wasn't exactly Silan, because Tosis goes on to say that the following. Tosis goes on to say that's going to be, the Gemara says you make a shakel. If you're drinking, it's something that you drink. Tosis points out right away. Here are a couple lines from, like 8 lines from the top of Lama Chesam Alf. Amar Mar Bar Rashi had Duvisha de Tamri. This date honey, this date beverage. Mevarchin Yelavei Shahakol Nia Bedvaro. And Gemara goes on to talk about other fruit juices also. And see, Tosas, Hai Duvsha, the Tamri, Mavarcha, Eilave, Shahakal, the Chemashi, Mikol, Minim, Mine Peres, with the exception of wine and oil, you always, we'll get back to oil in a moment, you always make Shahakal and all of these other fruit juices. And then Tosas raises a question, interesting question, that many Rishonim raise. You probably have heard, and we're going to see this officially, Mitzvah Hashem. It's a Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Vavam Beis that whenever you have a food that includes a significant amount of Chameshes Mine Dagan, you have apple pie, even though it's mostly apples, you make a Mizonos. Okay. So Tosa says, I know of another food that for which barley is a very significant ingredient, and yet we don't make the Mizonos. So schnapps, and Tosis didn't have schnapps,
beer.
But they did have beer. So Tosis says, what bracha do you make on beer? And we saw that actually in the Gemara we were just looking at, that That shecher you make a shahakal, and chamra on wine you make a bar preg efen. So Tosus says shecher dida. Now much of the shecher of the in the days of the Amoraim in 4th century Iran, the beer was mostly fruit based. But Shecher Didan, Tosus says, a couple lines in, our Shecher, meaning in France and Germany in the 1100s, they were already making beer out of barley. Beer was grain based. Tosus says, what's the deal with our beer? We don't make, even though it has a significant amount of grain content in it, lo mevarcha lo barmin mezonos el shahakol. I feel a Rav Shmuel. Even Rav Shmuel, who said earlier in the parak, kol sheish v'ol chamesh zamin mevarcha lo barmin mezonos. Any food that contains some of the five grains automatically is a barmin mezonos. That's why the apple pie is a mezonos and not a ha'etz. So what's the story here? So Tosis gives three answers. In quick succession, we'll look right now only at the third answer. The last four words in this Tosis. Tosis themselves right here give three answers. Other Rishonim give other answers. I think, if I remember correctly, probably a total of at least five or six answers to this. This is a problem that many Rishonim deal with. How come what we used to think of as standard beer, how come grain-based beer is a shahakal and not a mizonos? What does Tosis say? What's the last teretz and toast, the last four words? What does he say? Take a look. Shtia omer shahakal. When you're drinking, you always make a shahakal. In other words, there's a difference between drinking and eating. The difference between beverages and food. Now, we know there are differences between beverages and food in many areas of halacha, and specifically in Berakos Hananin. For instance, we may have a chance to see later in the year, in terms of the bracha acharona, bracha rishoni, you make even the tiniest speck of food or drink. Bracha acharona is only if you have enough of a shear. The shear is not the same. Bracha rishona, bracha acharona on food, for at least the kazayis, bracha acharona on drink, is at least a revius. So there are definitely differences between eats and drinks, between foods and beverages, in the context of Birkas Hananin, as well as other areas of halacha. Tosis just said another one. What did Tosis just say? Well, on drinks you make a shahakal. So we'll get to why in a moment. But on drinks you make a shahakal, meaning, yes, it should have been a mizonos. If it was a food, it would be a mizonos. If you were eating your beer, if you had some sort of casserole, you had some sort of kugel, like a solid dish that contained barley and other stuff also, it's mostly other stuff, but still, if you're eating it, then you make a mizonos. But on a drink, you always make shahakal. What they're saying, Lachar, my father develops this based on B'li Shurim with Rav, what Tosis is saying, what happened to mizonos? Why not make a mizonos? It is a mizonos food. It is a grain food. You should make a mizonos. And the answer is, you only make mizonos on foods. You don't make mizonos on drinks. Meaning that there's a distinction between ochel and mashka. Specifically, not just is the sheer kazayis, is the sheer revius, but for ochel, for food, chazal or masakein, or motzi, and bor mizonos, and bor priya eitz, and bor priya adama, and shakol miyavidvaro. What do we call this phenomenon? Having different brachas of different types of foods? Pirus, right? By food, chazal misakin, pirus per brachas. By drinks, they're only misakin, shakam and bar. In other words, hamotzi, mizonos, bar praise, bar praise, those are brachas on foods. If you're having if you're drinking your potato, I'm sure it's a great idea, but if you're drinking your coconut, or drinking your apple, or drinking your orange, it's automatically shahakal because it's a drink. Because it's a drink. And in general, chazal were not mesakein pirut on drinks. This whole system that we have in our Mishnah, this elaborate system of all these different categories and subcategories, da da da. That's what we're talking by foods. By drinks, it's basically, they weren't really misaking period by drinks. So basically, everything is just shahakal. Even though, in theory, it should have been a mezonos, it's a shahakal. There ain't no such thing as mezonos. Tosas had opened by the Tosas by saying, all drinks from all fruits are shahakal, except for tirosh v'yitzar. The only two that get special status, there was a specific takana that you... And let's talk about wine in particular. There was a specific takana, Bar Per Geffen is not maybe on this list. They were misakin. Here we go back to your Shtani Leiluya. They were misakin, when they were misakin brachas on drinks, they didn't really give you the full system, the full apparatus, the full structure for your bracha. They basically said, just make a bracha. If they had not, as you said before, Chazal had not been added this element of pure brachas, everything would be shahakal. Like, you say awesome asibracious on a mountain and on a waterfall and on the Grand Canyon. They're very different things. You say awesome asibracious, all of them. They're just all awesome asibracious, all my asibracious. So you would have said a shock and leave as well on all foods. Were it not for the fact that Chazal introduced period bebrachas. They did not introduce as a rule period bebrachas by mashke, only by alcohol. Only by Ocham. The one exception was they specifically were misaking Bar Pia Geffen for wine. It adds to the significance of the Ritva's opening line. The kind of wine was unique. It was already unique in that it was an upgrade, not just a lack of a downgrade. They actually crafted a separate bracha for this changed grape. It was also exceptional in that it's a singular pirut within the world of drinks. Wine is so special and so unique, again, may have to do with the kosher bracha angle, that not only does it get an upgrade instead of just staying as ha'eitz, it gets something, it's a drink that's not shahakal. Aha. But what that means is, there's nothing in between. According to this Shita and Tosas, again, there are three different explanations in Tosas as to why it is that you don't make a mezonos of beer. It says that the other Rishon and other approaches. But this last day in Tosfos is saying this idea that the whole notion of period per brachas doesn't exist by drinks, with the one singular exception of wine. They made bracha for wine, but other than that, drinks are shahako. If that's the case, then this could be number three. A third understanding of Tosas and Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, who said that the Bar Per Eitz does not work even b'dyeved for wine. Yeah, we understand well why that is according to the last day in Tosas and Lamed Ches. If there's no such thing as the Bar Per Eitz on drinks, it doesn't exist. The bracha for drinks is shahakal. There's a special exceptional rule. You're supposed to make a Bar Per Geffen on wine, but once you have Bar Per Geffen land, you sort of fall into the abyss. Well, it's not Bar Per Geffen, the one and only bracha is a shahakol niyeh b'dvar. So let's just take a step back and appreciate where we have been. And specifically just now, just this morning, we were exploring what looks like a very specific machlokas between Tosfos on the one hand versus the Ritva and the Ra on the other hand. Also, machlok is acharonim, Tosas and the Magen Avraham versus the Ritva, the Ra'ah, the Gidas Varadim, and Rebbe Akiva Eger. But it sounds like an incredibly specific, detailed point. It can come up lahalacha, probably not that often. A shayla lahalacha. What do you do? If b'di'evad you made a bar pri eitz on a glass of wine, do you drink the wine or do you have to make a new bar pri geffen? Are you yotze b'di'evad or not? And we have the Ritva saying, my shita is muchach in the Gemara, and Rabbi Akiva Eger, without having a ritva in front of him, said almost the same thing. He said, Tosus who disagrees is absolutely tamu, it's against the Gemara, what's going on? And so how do you make sense of this? In exploring what seems like a very small detail, we came to a lot of big, big, big ideas. We came to apostasy. Some suggested, two of you suggested, that what we see here is that Shehakol is inclusive in a way that Hadama Ha'etz are not. There's something unique to Shehakol, something we'll keep our eyes on over time. And then there was the return to this idea that Bar Pra Geffen might have two lives. It made Tzvei Dinim and Bar Pra Geffen. It's a Birkas Hananim. It's also a Chelek of Bracha Alakos, and that may give it, that may bleed into even Bar Pra Geffen's Birkas Hananim sort of functions differently and uniquely. That may or may not be relevant here. That is an important yisod to keep our eyes on. And finally, my father's suggestion that maybe Tosis and Yavi Beis is ruining the chiluk between Ochel and Mashke. And it gets us thinking about things we took for granted. This brings us back to the yisodos. Min haprat el hakal, we opened our learning of the Mishnah a couple of days ago by asking ourselves, well, okay, here are all the dinim. Now, well, what are the underlying yisodos that the Mishnah is conveying? Because Mishnayos can tend to, by design, not speak in general terms. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, by design, built it with the first work of Tarshish Lapet that was put into writing, by design, as Ramchal points out, was not meant to be a general, abstract work of principles. It was by design meant to be overwhelmingly case law. Specific cases and specific psakim for which you're supposed to break your head to figure out, okay, what are the principles and how, therefore, I apply them in some other case. Why is that, by the way? I don't think we spoke about this in the past. Ramchal in his essay on Agarata points out, yeah, Mishnah is also, like, there's so much missing. So often the Gemara says, well, the Mishnah sounds like it's saying X, but when you look at some other Mishnah, some other Bryce, you realize, no, really, the only way to fit the puzzle pieces together, it must be the Mishnah sounds like it's saying X, but really it's talking about Y, talking about Z, Chisir Mechstra, Hamai Skina, and sometimes you wonder, why? The Rambam writes in his Agdamah to Mishnah is about his hero, Yehuda Hanasi, and how one of Yonasi's many standout qualities was his exceptional command of the Hebrew language. He points to Gemara and Megillah, that when the Talmid Chachamim didn't know particular obscure words, their local dictionary was the domestic help in Yonasi's house. I'm saying the Bayred. Why? Why is it important for us to know, and why were they going to her? Rabbi Amram says, to tell you, Yonasi is such a fantastic, magnificent, elegant command of the Hebrew language, that even the domestic help in his house, there they spoke the king's Hebrew. They knew that the Amsi, the Beit Rebbe, had a better handle on Hebrew than the other Talmidei Chachamim. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's command of language was exquisite. So why are Mishnayos so difficult to read? You would think it would be a breeze. The Ramchal says it's not a flaw. It's not a bug, it's a feature. It was meant to be that way because he wanted, the Gemara Temura says, really, Tarshva Peh should be Baal Peh. But at this point, around the millennium and a half after Mamad Har Sinai, Rianasi realizes that we're at an inflection point, and if we don't start committing Tarshva Peh to writing, we're still going to start losing content. And he makes the call that it's better to transmit the full Torah in an imperfect fashion rather than begin to lose chunks of content. So we're going to have to start transmitting Tar Shal Peh, Dichsav. But says Ramchal implies in his essay on Agarata, but that means we're like Dechuya, like you really should be still be Baal Peh, but I have no choice. So therefore, he wants to keep it as Baal Peh as possible. And not only does that mean that quantitatively, he didn't write down every last din, he only wrote a couple thousand Mishnayos, most dinim remained Baal Peh, but even qualitatively, the way he wrote it, even the things that he did commit to writing, they retain a certain Baal Peh nature. Mishnayos by design were written as a jigsaw puzzle. They're meant to need a masorah from a Rebbe. You have to learn how to put the pieces together. That's a feature. That it keeps it as Baal Peh as can. To keep everything mamish Baal Peh, so that would be too dangerous. So when he says, I'm going to put 10,000-20,000 chunks, points of Tarsh Baal Peh into writing, there are slightly more than 4,000 Mishnayos, so figure there are 10,000-20,000 ideas over those Mishnayos. But even when I put those down, it's going to be, it'll be confusing by design. So they'll stay Tarsh Baal Peh. So we're meant to work hard. That's exactly, that's the Baal Peh piece. So we're meant to look at a Mishnah and look at the cases in the Mishnah and step back and say, what are the Yesodos? This is a pretty general Mishnah, case in Rachel Paris, but still, so we looked at the Mishnah and right away we went backwards and forwards. We sort of stepped back and said, okay, what are the Yesodos here? There's a Chiyav of Birk Zainanin, and there's a need for a particular Nusach, and there's a need for Pirut, and then we step forward to start digging into the details, and not surprisingly, stepping forward helped with the stepping back. The digging into this one detail, going down what looked like a rabbit hole, the relationship between Yain and Bar Peretz, it is rooted in the Mishnah. The Mishnah does say, Chutz Min HaYain. The Mishnah does present Yain as an exceptional subset of Bar Peretz. That's clear. It really should have been Bar Peretz, but Yain is the exception against the Bar Peretz instead. The Rishonim Handel, so what does that mean, Lahalacha? What does that mean, Lahalacha, if you did make a Bar Peretz B'dieved? And as we saw, that digging deeper forward into details also brings us back to begin to appreciate how several different Yesodos are going to be at play. And as I said, Yesodos that we're going to appreciate, you're going to look back in a couple of months from now and say, oh yeah, like then like, we were hearing ideas that sort of, at the time it sounded like a little geschmack. Now we actually, and you'll look back in a few months now, a lot more flesh on the bones of these Yesodos. The Gemara is about to surge into, again, the two Yesodos that the Mishnah speaks about explicitly are Nusach HaBrachas and period Brachas. As Tosis, the top Tosis that pointed out when we got started, the unspoken assumed Yisod is that there is a Chiyuv to make Brachas, and that's what this piece of Gemara, opening Shtickle Gemara, is going to dig into, and that's where we're going to head right now. We head down to the Beis Medrash right now.